Okay. We got to get to the word. Sorry. It's just that my heart is so full of all that God did. I was just in a restaurant, and this boy come up. He's 34, and he comes up, good-looking kid. And I looked at him, and I said, before you even serve our food, because I don't know what you're going to do to it, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Oh, he says, my mom won't stop with that. Hey, moms, keep it up. Don't stop, Mom. Don't give up, Mom. Who cares what he says, Mom? Keep praying and keep telling him. He said, you sound just like my mom. I said, that's because your mom's got wisdom and you don't have any. He said, I don't. I said, well, what do you know? Where do you stand? What's your belief? He goes, I don't know. I said, exactly. You don't know anything. And he's like, well, man. And so I just got witnessing to him. And I got loving on him. And I punched him in the chest and told him, here's the menus. Go get our food and then come back. And I asked him a question. And he goes, let me think about that. I said, good. Get out of here. Come back when you have an answer. And he comes back and he gives me his answer. It's the wrong answer. I said, see, I told you, you don't know anything because you don't listen to your mama. And I said, here's the answer. He goes, man, y'all are real. Y'all are real. Man, I need, this is true. I said, and give me your hand because we're praying for you. All right, let's pray. And before we were done, we're praying for him, encouraging him. He says, I got to look into this some more. I said, you better, otherwise your life is a waste of time. Because one day you're going to stand before God. You know, the Bible says that no man is a sum total of what he possesses. Right? Some want to keep building bigger barns, the word says. But we don't know what happens tomorrow. And everything that you built and everything that you had, and the whole world is trying to, or all of America is trying to insulate itself from the rest of the world. We don't want that stuff. We don't, and the church doesn't want to go where it's dangerous. You were built for danger. Most of the church doesn't want to. What do? We throw a couple of dollars and say, here, send that to them. That's good. But the power lives in you. Amen. We agree? Yes. Tell your neighbors, I've got the power. Yeah, I love it. Everybody starts singing that. I got the power. How about we start living it and stop singing it? Church is good at singing it. We need to live it, amen? I want you to know I'm encouraged, but I don't want to play games. There's a world that's dying. What happens when one of your babies, you can't find them? I know every one of your mothers have panicked at one time in your life because you left that four-year-old run around in the yard and all of a sudden they disappeared behind the chicken coop or wherever they were and you didn't see them. And then nothing else mattered until you saw that little baby's face. And sometimes they couldn't find him and they called everybody in the neighborhood. Have you seen Johnny? And they don't stop until they find him. That's how God feels about the rest. And that's what we need to do. Amen? It's in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1 in the Amplified. It says, when Jesus came back to Capernaum a few days later, it was heard that he was at home and many were gathered together so that there were no longer space, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And some people came bringing to him a man who was paralyzed, carried by four men. And when they were unable to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after digging an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralyzed man was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes were sitting there and thinking it over in their hearts. Why does this man speak this way? And I want to encourage you, the first part of that sentence says, when Jesus came back to Capernaum. I think it's time that Jesus came back to the center of all of our lives. That everything else becomes secondary. When Jesus came back, it says a few days later, it was heard that he was at home. It was heard. All he did was show up. Oh, I pray that every time you go home, people hear that you're home. And they say, oh, we got to go see them. Why? Because they know the presence of God lives in your home. When Jesus came back to Capernaum, that's where he spent most of his time, or a lot of his time. That was his home. That's where Peter and Andrew, that's where he found them fishing. That's where Levi, the tax collector, that's where he came from Capernaum. He says, when Jesus came back to Capernaum, and I believe that the church, and I'm not just talking about our church, okay, so don't get offended, unless you want to. It's your prerogative. Right? How many times things are said and who does he think he is? Oh, I know who I am. I know I'm a child of God. I know I've been called to preach the word of God. And I know I've been called to build the kingdom of God. And that's all I want to do. So the question is, who are you? What were you called to do? How were you called to do it? And are you doing it? You know when I get offended the most? Is when someone brings up something I'm supposed to be doing and I'm not doing it. Yep. You judgmental thing. You know, there's all kinds of, I'm telling you, everybody in here has got a badge right now. Yep. You're the police. I can't believe he said that. He shouldn't say that. Who does he think he is? Was he judging me? What does he think? He can just do whatever he wants? There's all kinds of police in here. Can't talk about healing in the house of God. That was for yesterday. Who does he think he is? We're the police. We're the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We're the police. We dictate what happens here. Honey, pack your bags. We're out. There's no place for us here. This isn't of God. And yet there's no fruit in the lives of those that head out. Can we just take our badges and throw them on the ground? Yes. Can we get rid of our badges? Where we decide according to my life what I want to do or what I've done and how I've done it, and everybody else is supposed to do it this way. Can I tell you, when God shows up, the police come out. Everybody puts on their badge. I remember people rolling around the floor, that's not God. People being slain in the spirit, that's not God. God would never be, would act that unbecoming. See, look at people leaving. The police are in the house, and they're taking people with them. See, when Jesus shows up, strange things happen. Tell your neighbor, say, you're strange. You're here because you got some strange in you. Just want you to know. You're not here because you want to just work an 8-to-5 job and walk through life and just do life like you have and have your nice retirement and then walk on into eternity. You know, so many people cry, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, but they haven't read the end of Matthew. They don't know what Matthew said about what's going to happen before Jesus comes back. They're not prepared. See, the church's job is to prepare you. To usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ. But before that happens, let me tell you something. We're going to need Jesus in the house of our hearts. We're going to have people hear that he's even here. And then what's it say? He was speaking the word to them. See, that's where the church has been missing it. We get together and nobody speaks the word. We get together, we talk about all kinds of stuff. Football season's among us. We can go home. We can go home now. It's all set. And that was my son that I love and his friends. We talk about all kinds of things. The church, we need to back off away from talking about all kinds of things. And we need to talk about the things of God. We need to spend time in prayer, praying the things of God. I got my wallet back because we prayed. That little boy, that waiter, his life was transformed because of prayer. not because of everything I said, but because we grabbed a hold of his hand and we spoke the word of God over him. And his life, I know, is changed. Because when we left, he came after me before I walked out. He said, I can't tell you how grateful. I wish you guys were around here. I said, go find a spirit-filled church and get in it, son. Because God's got a plan for your life. And it happened in every country we were at. You know, one thing happened. We were in, where were we? Prague. And we took a tour. And I'd never had anybody say this to me before. It was only six of us in the van and the driver. A young couple from Texas just got married, so we loved on them. And two girls from India, so we got the love on them because we've been to India, and we just had a great time. And the driver, we're driving and talking, and everybody's having a good time. And he said, number one, I've never seen a van full of people that ever started talking to each other so quickly. All I did was ask questions. Where are you from? What do you do? Where are you from? What do you do? People want to talk about themselves, don't they? Right. But we just have to ask the questions. And so we shared Christ all day long, right? We're in this tour. What was it? 7.5 hours, I think we were together. We went down in the gorge and took a little boat ride, and we got ice cream. And the guy that ran the tour bought our ice cream for us. He wouldn't even let us buy ice cream because he just fell in love with us. And so we got talking at the girls. We let them off, the two Indian girls, and they're standing inside their hotel room by the glass doors, and they're just standing there waving like, bye, Mom and Dad. We'll see you later, you know? We just loved on them. We just talked about them and how good God is. And then the Texan couple, they got out, and we're giving them a hug and tell them how proud we are of them and how strong. And he said, can you give me a call later because I want to talk to you some more? I said, yeah, I'd love to. And then we just had the van driver by ourselves. So we got out, and I shared Christ with him. And we're sitting there talking to him, and he goes, you got to stop. I said, all right, what happened? What's the matter? He goes, I've never heard anyone so passionate about their love for what they believe. But he said, I've never heard this stuff before, so my mind doesn't know what to do with it. He'd never heard. It was a communist country 10 years ago. It wasn't allowed. This guy's been the tour driver. He said, I've never heard the word of God presented, and I don't know how to process it. Can I tell you? That's where you come in. That's where you come in. All we have to do is share the word of God. And their lives will be changed. Amen? Because I pray that the cry of everyone's heart around us as the body of Christ is what it says in verse 7. Why does this man or this woman speak this way? Why? Why do you speak the way that you speak? Now, there's a question for all of us. And I think we all need some work. Okay, me and Carol and Bill. The rest of you guys got this down. Got it. Changing the way that we speak. Changing what has our heart. Right? Does my attitude change whether the Jets win or lose today? Yeah, they're playing the 49ers. I better have an attitude ready.
Level of expectation, babe.
No level of expectation. Does my attitude change because me and my wife disagree? No. Does my attitude change because my son left his guitar case and guitar in my office and didn't put it where it belonged? Does my attitude change because something in my life doesn't go right? Does that consume and control me? Or why does this man speak this way? In every situation that we're in, why do you speak the way that you speak? Why does the body of Christ speak the way the body of Christ speaks? Why do we do it? Is it because of love and compassion? Is it because of the peace and the joy that the Father has placed within us? Have we insulated and isolated ourselves? And I know it's challenging. I know I'm challenging you guys in your thoughts. And I wanted to be all happy and just thank you. I love you. And I am. I am. This is me being happy. All right? But it's like the one little girl. I was with a gentleman that raised 39 people from the dead. I don't know about you, but I want that in this house, not through me only, but everyone in here. Why? Because he said you can. But it's going to cost us. You can't be watching General Hospital and think you're going to raise people from the dead. It's not going to, I don't even know if General Hospital is still on. It was in the 80s. We had 30 guys in the day room watching General Hospital. That was one sad state I was in. Luke and Laura. They froze Port Charles, the whole city. It was stupid. And we're hurrying to get to the day room. We're getting dressed in the day room. 30 guys watching. We can't wait to see what happens with Luke and Laura today. Now I feel strong in the Lord. Not. What are we putting before our eyes? 39 people by his hand he raised from the dead. He said, you should have seen these two little girls. He said they were dead for 3 days and they cover it in lime, you know, to keep the smell down. And he said, when these two girls came back to life, they got up and they were spitting out lime and wiping it off their faces. And they said, what is on us? What is wrong? What is all over us? That's the kind of testimonies I want to walk out and watch and see. Can I tell you? You can. Tell your neighbor, say, I can. That's the God you serve. That's the power of the God you serve. You see, but we want to insulate ourselves, isolate ourselves, throw some money at it, and not go. But it's going to cost you because some of them only come out through prayer and fasting. Ooh, that curse word in the church. Don't take my food from me. Don't take my food from me. I'll follow Jesus all my days. Don't take my food from me. We're not willing to give it up to get them up. The wars that are going on, 3,000 just got slaughtered in Nigeria. One of the brothers I was with down in Nicaragua had a whole compound, houses they built, orphanages and stuff. The government just came in, arrested 135 of the men, all the husbands, threw them all in prison for life. You're going to see it in the news, but they weren't political prisoners. They were all Christians. Millions of dollars gone. The government confiscated it all. Threw all the husbands in prison. Families scattered trying to find a way, a place to live, and food to eat because they took it all. Our government got involved and got them out of jail and then told them, you're going to have to go live in Guatemala now. You can't come back here. Find your families. Are you ready for that here? They come and they take everything you got. How does our attitude change? These guys started worshiping again in jail. Don't know where their wives and their children are. Everything they built with their natural hands, gone. Government took it all, communism. Go find your families. We'll let you out of prison. Are we ready for that? Or are we hanging on to what I've built? This is my identity. This is what I want. And I won't sacrifice that for God or anybody. It was a young girl, I think in Nigeria also. Boko Haram, right? The terrorist organization. They went in and they wiped out this whole village, killed everybody, men, women, and children. Left one little girl alive, maimed, couldn't move, screaming, just crying as a baby. They left her alive because she's hyena bait. She draws the hyenas in, cleans up the village. I want you to know our girls are not hyena bait. You're not hyena bait. We'll be willing to lay down our lives. Are you willing to lay down yours? The guys with the blue hats, right? The UN, they came into that village, started getting rid of the bodies, and they picked up this little girl, and she was 100% going to die. They took her to a hospital in Europe. A Bavarian couple were on their knees in prayer. And God said, go get the paperwork ready because you're going to adopt a little baby in Nigeria. And they said, what? They went and they got their paperwork, and the paperwork went smooth. There was an angel came and told them, get your paperwork. Here's where you go. Here's the paperwork you need. They went and they filled out all the paperwork. And then they went to this place that they were led to adopt this baby girl. Body was all a mess. Head was too big, eyes bulging out. They walk in and they said, hey, we're here to adopt a child. And they walk through where the babies were. Some of them, they call them war children because their families were all completely wiped out. And it's happening every day around the world while we sit insulated and isolated. But I don't think that's our future. No. And so they walked in. They said, no, it's none of these kids. They went to the next room. They said, no, it's none of these. And they said, well, the other ones, they're going to die any day. So they walked back in, and the angel that spoke to them was standing next to that little girl. And they said, that's her. They said, she's going to die. She's not going to live. And they said, we'll take her. That's the heart of God. When it looks hopeless for man, it looks hopeful for us. Can I tell you, we've got to see through the eyes of, we are not subject to the laws or the natural laws of this earth. We are those whose God is supernatural. Amen? Amen? And all things become possible if you'll believe. Tell your neighbor, say, I believe. They took this little baby home, and you know what they did? They heard about a guy coming who has raised people from the dead, and they got that baby in the car, and they drove it all the way to that meeting. And he walked up, that little baby was in a wheelchair, and he walked up, and he unhooked the cords and the plugs and everything that keeping that baby alive, and he just started carrying her around. He just started carrying her around, praying for her. And then she didn't get healed. He put her back in that chair. They plugged her all back in, and he left. He was hitting a whole bunch of different countries. And he went back about 6 months later, different venue, didn't know hardly anybody. And he's standing there, and this little girl from Nigeria walks over, steps right up on his boot, and grabs his leg. He said, well, when you're a grandpa, that happens every day, right? Somebody's standing on your foot. Somebody's grabbing your leg every day. He said, look down and said, huh, you're beautiful. She said, uh-huh. So he picked her up, and she said, hi, Mr. I forget his name. Hi, Mr. So-and-so. And he said, hi. He said, I don't know you. She reaches in, and she pulls out a picture of him and her together. He said, oh, I remember her. She said, that's me, Grandpa. Perfectly healed, perfectly whole, beautiful, knows three languages, and smart as a whip. All because someone listened to an angel who came and said, get your paperwork ready. Someone else brought a baby out of a war zone, turned it in. Others said it's going to die, but somebody said that baby's going to live. And I want you to know, you're going to live. You're going to live. I don't care what the doctors have spoken to anybody in here. I want you to know, with your God, you're going to live. Your health is going to be yours. You can make a decision. You can talk about what the doctor said, or you can talk about what God said. Amen. I agree with God. Amen. I agree with God. Oh, man. I'm sorry. I had a bunch more scriptures. But I want you to know, I believe this is a time we're coming into, and this is why we went on sabbatical. I can't do church. Amen. I love what God has done the last 25 years. But I'm not doing the same thing the next 10. Amen. I pray that something inside of you says, I want more. Amen. I can believe God for more. I look at Juan, a walking miracle. I love you, Juan. When he came here, he was a basket case. He was a mess. Now he's my friend. He's saved. He's set free. And he loves God and he serves in the food pantry here. He was the worst mess I ever met. Right? Yeah. Yeah, he was into all kinds of stuff. But now he's into the things of God. You know, he was in a gang and they told him, he said, look it, I'm all done with the gang. And he was running it around here. He said, I quit. He said, you know what happens when you quit. He said, I'm serving God. I'm not turning anybody in. It's all right if I share this, right, Juan? Yeah? Is that a no or is that a yes? Okay, all right. Well, you went. And I didn't know what that meant. I'm just a white guy. You're Puerto Rican. We got to try to, you know, the language barrier, baby. But he said, look, I'm going to serve God. I'm done. I'm walking away. And they said, you're going to get a beat down. That's the way it works. You don't walk out of here. So they came. Several other things happened that day. And they walked out of his house and left him alone. I want you to know the devil wants to try to give you a beat down. But you stand on God and he'll walk out of your house. I don't care how long you've been addicted, he can walk out of your house. I don't care how long you've been sick and how many people in your family have been sick, he can walk out of your house. Because you can either have your freedom or you can have bondage. You talk about what you want. You choose today what you want. For me, I want life. I want health. And I'm walking in it. And I'm not going to stop. 60 years old. And I got to go to the gym. Because I'm not working hard like I used to. Walking a lot, but I'm not working with my hands a lot. So I got to go to the gym. Leon keeps me stretched. He's mean to me. And I like it. But today, you'll have what you say. That little baby girl is running around 3 years old, speaking three languages. Every time he comes, they go to the meeting. She grabs his leg. Hi, Grandpa. He's white. She's as dark as it can be. He says, I got white ones. I got vanilla ones and I got some caramel ones. But I've been waiting my whole life for a chocolate one. I always wanted a chocolate grandbaby. And he picks her up and she says, puts her head here. I love you, Grandpa. No relation except in Christ. Can I tell you, we're all related in Christ. You're my brothers, you're my sisters. And we'll have what we put our hearts to do. Some of these only come out through prayer and fasting. Are you willing to walk it out? Are we willing to make a change and say, okay, I don't want to do church. I want to do life with Jesus Christ. Stand up this morning.